Good evening. If your Bibles have bookmarks, please place them in between Revelations 2 and 3. We will be referring to that particular part multiple times throughout this sermon. We are familiar with the seven churches as found in Revelations 2 and 3. However, in this sermon, I would like to look into why each church was either alive or dead, and what we can learn about each one. Now, we know that a church is simply a group of people attending together and worshiping God. So the churches themselves fall into these groups when the members do the same. So first warning comes from the church of Ephesus, found in Revelations 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Ephesus is a church that left its first love, and we, as Christians, can do the same things. We can have a love for ourselves rather than a love for those we strive to teach the gospel to. Please turn to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." When we're teaching others about Christ, we must remember that as they have been, we too were in a sinful state. The love that we show is when we teach others and we show them our care and concern, not only for themselves, but their souls and the souls of those around us. Members without love leads to a church without love. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So important is love in our lives. We must never allow ourselves to leave our first love as the Church of Ephesus. Now we'll consider the Church of Pergamos, found in Revelations chapter 2, and we will read verses 14 through 16. "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Compromise is another major stumbling block. Pergamos became known as this because they allowed false doctrine to be taught in the church. Now, we see that today under the term love, but Love can be used to allow any teaching or doctrine to creep into the church. That's not love at all. That's hate. We must be considerate of all members of the congregation. What message are we teaching them if we allow false teaching to spread throughout the congregation? Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise." You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. We are separated from the world as well. And we should consider the same heed that was given at this time. As in the days of Moses, even till now, false worship is and always will be an abomination to the Lord. Now please turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Rather than allowing false teaching to be spread throughout the congregation, we are to note those who are attempting to do so. Uncertainty should be resolved as quickly as possible, because those who may not be as mature as Christians may doubt or be led away, and that causes division. If we allow division, our reputation, and all the good that we can do as a congregation can and quickly will fall away. The third warning comes from the Church of Laodicea, found in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, "I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing," and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The third warning is one of settling on your history and becoming lukewarm. Now, there are many ways that we can become lukewarm Christians ourselves. We can only be faithful when it's convenient for us, or even out of selfishness to see what can be gained by worship. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 13 now. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We must do what is found here. We must test ourselves. Are we in the faith? Is our worship acceptable to God? Usually, we hear to do this during the Lord's Supper, but we should do this throughout the entire service to make sure that it is acceptable to God. Now, we can also be lukewarm by looking at our past and resting on our laurels. We can say, as found in Matthew 7, that "I've done this in your name, I've done that in your name," but we too would hear, "I never knew you." On the other hand, please consider what Paul tells the church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The fourth warning comes from the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2, verses 19 and 20, where it reads, I know you, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. We spoke earlier of the danger of allowing false doctrine into the church. Now, let's consider the danger of allowing sin into the church. In this case, this is worse than the man who had his father's wife in 1 Corinthians. Jezebel was allowed to teach. Now, I know that all sin, and those who are worshiping as well, do commit sin, but that cannot be our continual state. In the scripture reading this evening, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, I'd like to read that one more time, please. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we sin, we must seek forgiveness and turn from the sin. As stated, Jezebel did no such thing. If a member continues openly in sin, our reputation as a congregation that serves God also can be tarnished. This also can kill a church. Can we teach the importance of forgiveness and turning away from sin when this kind of behavior is allowed in a church? Please turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 42 and 43. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. Now, Jesus is speaking of a metaphor here, but as a church, we must cut off those who cause the sin because that may lead ourselves into condemnation as a congregation. The fifth warning comes from the church of Sardis, found in Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These sayings says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. This warning is one of claiming to be alive while still being dead. You see this everywhere today. These supposed great churches full of members who are spiritually dying. This death occurs when the other warnings mentioned so far are active into the members of the church. After the removal of what causes a church's dying state, Whether or not those members return is up to them. But our goal is to focus on those who strive to worship in truth. Those growing should be encouraged. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, 4 through 8. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that a spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And this is why, while it is difficult to do so, a church discipline is necessary. The sixth warning comes from the church of Smyrna, found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. The warning here is, of course, to be faithful unto death. Unfortunately, sometimes bad things do happen to good people and good congregations. Churches themselves do have difficulties sometimes, and how they deal with those difficulties determines the health of the church. Now, the 10 days here is not a literal one. It's just that persecution is temporary. This persecuted church was called rich, even amongst those who were blaspheming them. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is true for the saints, and this is true for the church. Our goal is to save souls and look forward to the end of our faith, both in this case during times of trial and with our final or seventh warning, the Church of Philadelphia, even during times of peace as well. Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Whether in trials or in peace, perseverance is key. A church that resists the dangers and endures temptations is one that is growing. Whether we are a big or a small church, rich or poor, we are truly rich in the Lord our God. Isn't that the point of the parable of the talents, that regardless of how much was given to each one, they were told that if they returned with interest, that while their faithfulness may seem small, compared to God's love, it's everything. And they're told again and again to enter into the joy of your Lord. And the same is true for us, We've heard before of a crown and of joy. Victory awaits us and all who are faithful. Now, out of the seven churches, there were five who were dying and two that are striving for victory. We must look into ourselves and ask if we as well are on a path of victory. And if we are, we must persevere. The congregation here would accomplish nothing if godly men and women surrendered their faith in the face of hardship, or even in times of peace. In these times, we must continue growing and maturing, or else we too can become lukewarm. Our crown is at stake. Now, that crown of righteousness is only available to those who are Christians, so the invitation is offered for those who have yet to obey the gospel. If you've yet to, a warning is made for you as well. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Victory and life are only available for those who are baptized and live faithfully unto death. I would like to close this evening by repeating Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, just one more time. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if you would like to be baptized today to walk in newness of life, or if you desire the prayers of the brethren on your behalf, please step forward as we stand and sing.